A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. And at our website, stevebick.com. And coming to you live from Gulfstream, a very quiet, a very empty Gulfstream Park, but happy to be here and was happy to get here on Saturday. Actually had to endure a little bit of airport annoyances that prevented me from seeing everything I would have liked to. You don't need me to relate what goes on, but half an hour almost waiting for the gate to be available, even though we were right on time, and then the luggage, literally a half an hour. So by the time we got everything done, and I will say, having not been at Fort Lauderdale for a long time to fly in, more and more like Miami Airport these days, it seems. It mayhem over there. So I didn't get to the track. I missed, I think the first thing I got to see, I think, was actually the allowance and the very good allowance performance of Prevalence, who loves it here, boy. I was, of course, much more engaged as the afternoon went on, as I'm sure everybody was, and a terrific kind of head-spinning Saturday of race action. There's almost too much. And this, you know, I realized that actually later, doing the Sunday, doing all the recapping and putting the, you know, checking the figs and so forth, and watching some replays again, and some of the races that just you couldn't get to. I mean, when you had the three venues, Aqueduct, Gulfstream, and Santa Anita, all flying around, it's easy to miss something here or there. And there's a lot to go back over. And, of course, the Fountain of Youth situation that, I mean, could have been, I mean, just tragic. It was bad enough that High Oak clips heels and goes down and affects Galt, who drops Joel Rosario. Undoubtedly, we'll talk about it. Rich Migliori, who was very pointed in his criticism, as many have been, of Paco Lopez, who just seems to be the linchpin to so many incidents. It's, you know, it's not a coincidence. And there's another topic, of course, out of this that bubbles to the surface every time there's a difficult decision to make on a turn. We can't go on without video evidence in those spots. And the technology is available. It absolutely is available. The drone services, and in fact, Indiana, utilizing, and there's just too many options to not have adequate visuals in those spots. And don't think for a minute that hyper-aggressive riders aren't aware of spots like this that will be difficult to adjudicate for the stewards. And the stewards knew that they had a problem, and that, by all rights, if there was the video evidence to confirm the suspicions, that in due time would have been placed last, because that's what should have happened. And I don't know if there's a whole lot else to really say. I mean, there's two parts of this. There's Lopez's constant involvement in dangerous scenarios, and the fact that, the game is lacking sufficient, technology resources to make it easier for everybody and safer. I mean, we a lot of lip service paid from any number of places. About this kind of, you know, these kinds of scenarios. Well, there's options out there. All right. Talk about the winner. And I think I'm not 100% sure, but I'm coming from, you know, from the near the breezeway at Gulfstream, and I'm hopeful they're not training today. They had it's a track maintenance day, and so it's kind of a weird morning around here. Antonio Sano very well may stop by here, and he was hoping. He said, "Can I come earlier?" And I said, "Well, we only start at 9, so I think there's a likelihood that Antonio and maybe with his son stop by at about 9:30, which would be fun and. Regarding simplification, still did not have, you know, clean sailing, and yet was able to, you know, deal with it successfully. And I don't, you know, I wouldn't put it in the same category as the challenges that he faced in the Holy Bull, which were, you know, even more pronounced, but he was pocketed for a while and, you know, had to kind of idle under Ortiz before getting his run in. And as it happens, I mean, the way, considering where he was and what Jose Ortiz did with him, that was a very clever ride, because being out wide and circling out, that paid off, given what was happening with the, you know, the scrum that came together and caused the incident. So simplification gets the breakthrough grade 2 win after the excellent try in the Holy Bull. And this is a really nice horse. And Antonio Sano, and I got to mention, not just Antonio Sano, but how about Gustavo Delgado, who finishes third in here and by all rights should have been moved up to second with O Captain. The longest shot on the board, 87-1, and O Captain put the spurs to the try in a big way. And it was interesting because Emmanuel that was leading up to the bell, you know, there was a point where Emmanuel was kind of hinting at maybe going favored, but ultimately simplification, exactly 5-2, which is a very square price. And Emmanuel, just a tick under 3-1, second choice, and ran okay, is going to have to move forward off of that in the next try. Meanwhile, and I should give you the update, I updated it on Twitter if you were following Saturday afternoon and then Sunday morning, the horses were fine. I mean, obviously, Galt was fine, and he kind of, like, leapt and you know, put Rosario on the ground. Joel was a little sore, body sore, and, you know, coming off the racetrack, I mean, you saw the two pictures I put up of the two of them. And Joel was just a little ginger. He said the back, that his back that has bothered him, that, you know, he's had injuries before, and he said the back's a little tweaky, but, you know, he was okay and took off the mounts on Sunday. The more significant pair that tumbled, High Oak, I mean, I was with Lee Einsiedler and his son Jeffrey and Mike Francesa was with them, the partners and his boys, and so it was a, that happens, you the tension and you know, after all the anticipation of a big spot and a big opportunity to have that happen, it's Lee's attitude was fabulous, which was could have been, you know, horrific. And there's nothing, you know, there's nothing that is more dangerous than a heel clip, because it just comes without warning. But Hayoko okay. And we'll look to the wood. And Junior Alvarado, who was really walking gingerly on his left leg, and it looked like ankle or high ankle, but it turned out to be just kind of a deep bone bruising, and he manages to avoid any serious injury time away. So, Fountain of Youth, and I suppose that I didn't get a chance to talk to Kelly Breen, but I could tell Kelly was during that the inquiry, which did not last long, by the way. I mean, that inquiry, they knew, I guess, right away that they weren't going to be able to, you know, have a definitive way to DQ in due time. So I could tell Kelly looked a little sheepish about what was happening, but stays up and in due time follows up that nice allowance win, getting around a second turn. This is, you know, the other not this time. The third not this time, howling time. Dale Roman's, the howling time was kind of trying to get into the race from the outside. He had to avoid, Joe Talamo had to avoid the spill, and that pretty much ended his try. But the other two not this times, 1-2 in here with simplification and in due time. And so the obvious plan would seem to be Florida Derby and on to the Ville. Manuel Dean Delivers ran okay. He was involved a little bit too in the way the horses kind of stacked up into that turn, and managed to hang on for fifth. So Rattle and Roll ran call it a fitness effort. He kind of ran around and really didn't really make much of a dent at any point. So McPeak and Lucky Seven, they're going to, I guess they could come back here, or given his Breeders' Futurity performance, I imagine the Bluegrass is on their radar. So McPeak, so far, actually, the recent weeks, the McPeak three-year-olds, not as robust and evident as they were through the end of the two-year-old season. So there's your Fountain of Youth, and more, of course, to discuss as the morning unfolds. The rest of the card, I mean, it was really fun. I mean, other than, the scary moment, it was a very good day here. On the business side, the money was pouring through the windows. The other big performances, go wherever you want. How about, and in fact, I reached out for Suge, looking forward to talking to him about Kathleen O, Javier Castellano. Patient and had a couple of choices about inside outside, and when Kathleen O got her cue, she just blew apart that Devona Dale. She is really nice. Things didn't go as well in New York, actually, for Team McGahey, actually, because Radio Days, and I don't know why, honestly, not to get veered off the beaten path here, but I don't know why Radio Days was pounded the way she was, because Venti Valentine, what has she done wrong? Well, Venti Valentine was terrific, and George Abreu and Manny Franco, the New York bred, and in fact, I should mention, speaking of New York breds, right, the filly behind Kathleen O was very good, Classy Edition, and the two of them, I would guess one of them is going to be your New York bred two-year-old filly champion when they That should be coming up because we just had the vote, actually. And I thought that the essentially between Venti Valentine and Kathleen O, the 3-year-old Phillies got, you know, got a little bit of an enhancement on Saturday. You know, assuming that Secret Oath stays on her path, and you know, even with them considering, you know, potentially involved, you know, getting involved against the boys, but Venti Valentine and Kathleen O, they forge into the picture, in the Oaks picture. So it was good. That was a good, I thought, a good couple of 3-year-old filly results. Some of the other things in here, you want to talk about a 3-year-old filly that impressed? How about Graham Motion is actually on a plane. He was in the UK, but and is flying as we speak. So we'll talk to Graham probably tomorrow or Wednesday, and I'll be here today and tomorrow, and then Tampa Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, leading up to Tampa Bay Derby, and then we'll close out this rather insane, this rather crazy odyssey at Ocala next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And if my wife is still speaking to me, then we'll be home a week from Thursday. And speaking of speaking, how about Speaker's Corner? And that effort in the Gulfstream Park Mile. And every week, another 4-year-old got to actually sit down and write up and make kind of a master list of all of these 4-year-olds that on a weekly basis are, you know, making the handicap division look better and better. So Speaker's Corner and Fearless had no answer. Tried to, you know, get involved, and Speaker's Corner just galloped away under Junior. So Godolphin with you know, another very nice. It was a good day, actually, right? Because they had the horse of Brendan Walsh's. I mentioned Prevalence. Yeah. So, but Speaker's Corner, really impressive. 106 Meyer. And so, you know, we'll see who's going to be able to make it to the Met Mile, because that has got to be, for horses like this, that's got to be the, you know, the spring goal. Back to the turf. I started to talk about Graham Motion and Spenderella, who got bet like they had run the race. she was bet like iron, and frankly, the race was never ever in doubt. Jose Ortiz, who, what did he win? Did he win three? I think he won three, right? Yeah, Simplification, Temple, and Spenderella. In fact, that's right. The late pick three, the late Jose Ortiz pick three. Looking forward to talking to Graham. I mean, for a filly to, you know, break her maiden, okay, and then go into stakes company, and there were horses in here. I mean, this wasn't the matriarch, but it's you know, it's early season, 3-year-old turf milers, and you know, there's some accomplished fillies in here, and this baby was over. Over early, and Ortiz just kind of, you know, wrapped up on her late. She had built a, you know, a, I don't know, 3-4 length lead, and you know, Mischievous Kiss and Opalina, and I was trying to get How'd You Make Your Money at a price. I thought, you know, if her efforts on synthetic translated, but she didn't really have much to offer in there. But Spenderella, a Caracanti, out of the Unusual Heat mare, Spanish Bunny. This one, Gainesway, bred and owned. Homebred for Anthony Beck and the Gainesway team. Very, very impressive. So there's a top line. I mentioned Temple. Chad. How about Chad's two winners? In Italian, in the Honey Fox, and Virginia Joy in the very one. Errad aboard for both of those wins. And they both were very good. The two imports. And in Italian, very quickly establishing herself on these shores. Got a good run from Rusty in there from... I was trying to... In fact, Andy sparred with me a little on Derby Trail about it. I picked Navratilova, and I bet Navratilova. And I was hoping, you know, when a horse gets a little older, you know, the turn four, they don't necessarily, you know, in a lot of cases, they'll mature and relax. And even though, you know, coming off the layoff, you know, where sometimes they can be fresh and aggressive. But I went back to her stalk and go efforts going short. And Andy argued with me about that. And she, you know, I thought she ran well. I needed her. I really needed her to hold second. She got corralled there by Wakanaka in the late, you know, just the last couple of jumps. And in fact, that was an exacta from form to win. Yeah, the two of them and. Wakanaka and in Italian, but I kind of keyed, I basically keyed Navratilova, better to win, and then keyed her underneath second with like, I don't know, three or four. So, got nothing. You'll get nothing and like it. And coinage. Coinage also. We're going to talk to Ian Wilkes. I won't discuss the Canadian turf because Ian is going to join us to talk about Mira Mission. And this one of the horses that he got from Mrs. Sullivan with Tom Bush's retirement and makes a stake debut in the Canadian and wins it and ran very well. Julian Leperoux aboard. So we'll talk to Ian. And Ian's got a new, Ian and Tracy have got a new grandbaby. And there's also... Who was the other horse? I got something else for Ian that I've been saving, actually. Oh, for goodness sake. There was something else that of his that we'll figure it out by the time we talk to him. A couple more conversation points about what was going on here. You know, nice crowd. I made the note. I put up a picture of me and Gus Alonso, Gus over from Fort Myers. We always get to see each other either here or Tampa, and we may see each other at Tampa too. But Gus, with a circle of friends and a lot of listeners, so many, really, so much fun. And Gus makes the point that this is his favorite day. This was his 15th Fountain of Youth, and probably my 8th or 9th. Maybe more. I should really look at the list and figure out how many I've been to. But I've always preferred Fountain of Youth. The Florida Derby Day is just, you know, it's an overflow capacity type crowd. And so Fountain Day is just a little bit, you know, less frenetic and crowded. So I thought it was just a fabulous day on Saturday. Really had fun. So... Looking forward to, all right, Antonio Sena, Antonio Sena says he's here. Let me figure out where he is. Antonio, I wonder if he's in the case. Why don't you run a break here? Let's take a break here, and I'll go find Antonio, all right? You good to do that? Because I couldn't hear you when we're starting the show, and I'll find him. All right. Good.
Worldwide.
There we go.
Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
4 career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, and I think, Antonio, I think we're on the same page now. I looked for him inside and outside, but then texted him. So I think he'll come wandering through this door momentarily, and I'm looking forward to it because you know, when we think back to you know, to all the success that he had with Gunavera, and most often we would talk to his son. And you can tell, for those of you that saw Antonio after the race with it was Andy, I think Andy B and Cone, I think did the spot, and I think he's more and more comfortable, you know, with the interviews. So I'm looking forward to. I'll be honest, this is a horse that, you know, we've been talking about since last year, and, you know, saw that, you know, that he was a developer that looked like, you know, there was something to like going forward. And I also want to ask about Tammy Bobo. The owner, whose name I've seen and don't know much about her, France and Erwin Weiner bred not this time out of a Candy Ride mare. And I will tell you one thing. I talked to Dale. You know, we were kind of enjoying the, you know, the Not This Time storyline. And Dale, if you remember back, I mean, Dale, with the premature injury that ended his career, you know, way too soon, Dale said immediately early on that he said this is going to be a tremendous success at stud. So Dale's excited on that front for Not This Time. So even though it didn't go great for Howling Time, on Saturday, it went well for Not This Time, and the 1-2 finish. So Dale says he's going to be, you know, a major impact on on the stud book. He's got real confidence about, you know, the long term success. So, for not this time. All right, I can't do anything here until, and I don't want to start. I don't want to start anything else with Antonio expected here. So, no. See what I am curious about. How long ago was it? 5 years ago, Gunnevera. 5 years ago, his Fountain of Youth win. I forgot he had won the jackpot. He had won the Delta jackpot as a 2 year old as well. So it's a decade of success for Sano. No. Well, all right. I will. I'll keep an eye open here. And meanwhile, we'll take a peek at the other action in New York. How about the Tom Pfool win? Did you see? In fact, you know, both of the odds-on favorites in the Tom Pfool, and then in the Buescher, you know, both were vanquished, and Chateau was out on the lead, square enough fractions and officiating coming up from Florida for Safi Joseph and Peter Bexo. Just inhaled Chateau and ran away at a nice price too. Paid $13.40 officiating did with Manny Franco, who had a very nice day, second on Dean's list too to Morello. Speaking of which, jumping to from the Tom Pfool, Morello, that was a good effort. Classic Empire for Steve Asmussen, and this is the Blue Lion Thoroughbreds and Partners. Craig Taylor's involved, and this is Rick Pitino's involved in this group as well. So Morello, and he's making a steady progression, right? From sprint distance to elongated sprint. And Asmussen saying that, you know, Wood will be next, mile and an eighth. The Wood is going to shape up quite well. And looking forward, I was making plans, in fact, already to broadcast from Aqueduct leading up to the Wood. And Morello, that golden code for Todd. And Calumet, that was third with Kendrick. Golden code is going to stay for the Wood. Mo Donegal, after the little hiccup between the fever and having to scratch from here. Early voting is waiting for this, for Chad. Barese, Safi Joseph's going to have one, and now High Oak. So there's at least seven right there. Seven for the Wood, and I'm sure there'll be more. So the Wood's shaping up all right. Good day at Aqueduct on Saturday. And then yesterday, I'll slip in the Heavenly Prize. They held the Heavenly Prize back from Saturday and ran it on Sunday. And Bang Sting, another New York bred. This is the McMahons and Hidden Brook involved. It's a McMahon homebred out of a Precise End mare, being a bonnet, a Central Banker. It's been a very good few weeks for New York breds in top-level open company. So Bang Sting, And she did run and won right at the beginning of the year. So wasn't a 5-year-old debut, but the mare off to a very nice start here at age five. So heavenly prize. There was New York. Okay. As we still are watching, I don't know what to tell you here. And he hasn't texted me back. Let me see. Well. All right. Let's talk about Santa Anita. And hoping we catch up with John's Sheriffs later on. At Santa Anita, obviously, from a 3-year-old perspective, Forbidden Kingdom. Everything that Richard Mandela could have wanted, and I would say more, right? Wasn't that... I mean, that was better than, I think, even... Of course, you can't tell with Mandela because he's tricky, right? He's not, you know, I don't want to say he gives you misdirection, but he's funny, and he's thrilled, and everything that this cult did. Kind of spoke to, you know, more upside going forward. Forbidden Kingdom, American Pharoah Colt, out of the 5-star Day Mare, Springhouse Farm Bred, and My Racehorse and Spendthrift partnered up and just won pretty much as he pleased. And I mean, this was another one of those races that was over, off the first turn. I mean, the way he basically, you know, took control early, and it wasn't like they were going slow either. You know, they were going a square clip. So, Forbidden Kingdom built up a 6-7 length lead and just cruised home under Hernandez. Doppelganger kind of rallied and, you know, got within. You know, hailing distance, but was five and three quarters on the chart margin. So Forbidden Kingdom, 98 buyer too, and a very, very promising next step off of the 3 sprints. So Mandela, fun to have on the scene. When it comes to Triple Crown, and I'm sure my racehorse Spendthrift team quite excited by what this portends, right? Beyond the San Felipe, jump to the big cap, and you know what this race was potentially missing in terms of star power was more than made up for in terms of really good shoulder to shoulder race action, and Warrant gave Express Trade absolutely everything he wanted, and that was good. And I thought Frank's call was terrific too. Frank kind of matching pitch, you know, as things, you know, got more pitched, and it did seem in the late stages, it did seem like Victor, he kind of was holding Warrant safe essentially, right? I mean, Warren was trying a little harder, and Flavian Pratt. I mean, they were nine lengths clear at that point. Stiletto Boy got up into third. Everybody else that, you know, that tried to be involved fell by the wayside. But this was all the top pair, and 104 buyer for the Union Rags colt. Congratulations to the Searings. Okay, we got a really good. This one, I will get Lee Searing on. We've been threatening to have him on. So here's the perfect opportunity. We'll reach out to Lee Searing. It's a great win. It's a great win for this horse. Really nice. 5-year-old, bred by Dixieanna. And, you know, caps the classic lead up with the San Antonio and the San Pascal win. And this is a career best fig, too. So, always special, right, to win a big cap. And even though, you know, what was interesting was he ended up at 6-5. And that, I was a little surprised because John made him 4-5 on the morning line. And I thought, I singled him on everything. And, just figured he was way, way, way the horse to beat. And this was a very good effort from Warren, the Brad Cox. Brad Cox had, didn't have a headline weekend, but if you look closely, he did very well in a number of spots, sort of, right under the top line. The placement for Warrant here, this is another 4-year-old, right? Right? He's a 4-year-old. Yeah. Yeah. Last year's Oklahoma Derby winner, Texas Derby winner at Lone Star 2, and now grade one placed. And literally a head and a bit of a mane from being a grade one winner. But Brad also, he had a huge night at Turfway. I went to catch up and get the chart for the Battaglia and the trophy. And, Bubble Rock won the Cincinnati trophy for Cox with Pedroza, but he also won. There was a maiden race. There was an allowance race. He won at least three Saturday night at Turfway. And since I mentioned Turfway, Tis the Bomb did win that Battaglia for McPeak. Kind of graded out kind of modestly, 82 buyer with Alex Achard. But The big highlight. Hey! There you go, Antonio. I knew you'd find. Yeah, it's great to see you. Thank you. You mind that you mess up the hair a little bit? I love it. Gosh. Antonio Seno joining us, and Antonio, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I've been a fan of this horse right away from last year as a 2-year-old, and he, had so much to overcome in the Holy Bull and did a great job. Then to come back like this, and this was not the easiest trip again. He had to overcome a little bit more again Saturday.
A little trouble on the stretch, the front. Between the half mile on the 5-foot-long, lot of problem. The horse, and I take off my horse at the weight, for weight, a lot of foot, maybe.
That's all right.
I think so, the race is very good. A lot of people know the horse not chained in the hands and in the stretch, but it's impossible. Because Ortiz, a lot of problem, trouble, 2 jockeys down. It's outside. I need to take off the horse. And I sense all the very handle.
Yeah.
And they finish the horse. And the horse come back, relaxed, different at the last leg, the bad break.
Well, that speaks to also what we saw with the good effort in the Holy Bull with all the trouble. And he still kept coming. He's not a big horse. He seems very nimble and can go to spots, and he's responsive. He can be asked a couple of times maybe, and he finishes. I mean, there's a lot to like about him.
In the Holy Bull, the horse, remember, first time, 2 turns.
Right.
Never. So the horse, bad break, when the horse opened the brake, the starting gate, stay He's never done that before yet. Castellano, good race, good decision, but so late. Wade and the Hollywood. I think so. It's very good horses. I am so happy, proud. My horse come back very good. I wait for next race.
Let's talk for a minute about this, because that break, up until the Holy Bull, he had been, you know, more or less, after his first start, he had pretty much been near the lead. And sometimes when a horse has that occasion and you know, doesn't get on out of the gate well, they learn they don't have to go. They don't have to be up front. And it seems like he kind of learned that rating lesson, and he sat behind horses in the pocket on the backstretch. Right?
Right.
That can be a stressful situation. He took dirt. He seems to just respond nicely to everything.
The horse, the Holy Bull, learning a exposure room, the front, in the middle, or behind, is very important for me.
Sure.
No need to start. Is the front? No problem. Is behind? No problem.
The situation to get Ortiz too. I mean, not that Javier did anything wrong, right?
No, last time Ortiz.
Yeah.
See, before Castellano, Javier, good race last time. No, not a foul. Different situation for Puddy Jockey, because the owner made a little upset there. It's okay. In the race, I saw speed in the race last Saturday.
Yeah.
The Ortiz, the decision is, the good break, you take the front, no? You take the horse around in the middle field. I worry in the front when the Ortiz and it take off the horse. All horses.
Yes.
Yeah, good decision. They get
to come around.
Yes.
Well, what did, and I mean, when, where were you watching from? You on the stairs or
in the second floor?
On the second floor. Did you, I mean, you're watching that when they come together on the turn? Yes. And you know, you had full clear, you had a clear, you know, shot. What did Jose say about, you know, what was going on as he came around?
I clear when the horse I take off, so I wait and go on the horses. It's more easy to hold the car for the last race.
This situation, and I'm not, I don't want you to, you don't have to address Paco, but, you know, you got your horses involved in out there, and it has to be unnerving, right?
All nervous. All. It's a big problem.
It's a big problem. I think that's a fair statement. How, I mean, obviously, you look at what he's done already from a breeding standpoint. Not this time. Candy Ride doesn't look like the mile in the eighth or even further is an issue.
For me, no problem. The distance.
No, huh?
No, no problem. The distance. The horse. Is in focus. The horse is so smart. Jenny, will you point the horse? It's wrong. No need it. Excellent.
Wow, that's nice to have one like this. How much is he like Gonavera?
It's different horse. Gonavera is excellent horse. It's different horse. Gonavera only run the behind. I need to cross. Little more problem for the race.
Yeah.
It's the clear for the. Remember, when I went to ride second, the Breeders' Court Classic, I trouble in the last four long.
Yep.
When they put the horse, I lost the race from half length. The horse different. The horse were in the middle, in the front, and close.
A dangerous horse. And the nice thing, you know, when you have a racetrack like this, which is very speed, you know, speed does very well here. So to have him... To have him learn these lessons, it feels like he's experienced. And you know, Antonio, you train your horses. You know, you're not afraid to baby. You don't baby them.
No, I try to put my horse in the good condition. But then, last work for more easy the 2 weeks ago.
A little lighter. Yeah. He won't need much, right? He just kind of keep him, kind of coast him through.
Concentrate only, Horton.
Very nice. Tell me about Tammy Bobo.
Tammy Bobo is good person, excellent. Is same part of my family. Is she likes the horse? Focus on horse. A lot of horses in the farm. Is a good person.
Ocala.
Ocala, yes, Ocala.
Nice. And has she? How long a client?
6-7 years ago.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Well, Antonio, this is exciting. I mean, it is right to have a horse that you know is in this position, and you know, there's.
I hope the horse, thank God, is very healthy for the race. Come back home, good. And to win the decision, the Florida Derby or not Florida Derby?
Well, there's what would prevent you from the Florida Derby?
Wednesday, I had the decision. For me, no problem. They continue for only the Derby or the run the Florida Derby.
Right.
The horse is very good horses. It's only maintenance, no need the breeze.
Because what we're how far we're out? I mean, we're
1 month.
Yeah, well, month of Florida Derby, and then so 9 weeks.
9 weeks. 9 weeks. Maybe he didn't run the Florida Derby.
Nice. Well, it's and it, is Ortiz
yes
locked in?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, in addition to simplification, Siglioso too ran the Canadian turf.
See, he had the problem, and the race is bleeding.
Ugh.
Never bleeding.
I never bled.
Never. First time.
Unbelievable.
A lot of nerves in the pound of the horses. This day bleeding the horse.
This is the frustration for owners, for trainers, for horse player.
Okay.
You just don't know, and the ones that are coming off and coming on, and then the ones that can use in allowances and maiden race, then you know into the stake, and they can't, and you don't.
Every time, good communication from the owner and the trainer and the jockey. It's good communication for the decision.
What's your feeling about how you are going to treat a horse like this now coming out of an episode?
Right now, simplification.
No. Siglioso.
I put the treatment for clear the the respiratory and send to the farm for 2-3 months for the horse. Very good and come back.
The hyperbaric treatments. You got the access to a hyperbaric that can help. I mean, this is what we're dealing with.
Exactly.
It's not right. It's not fair.
No problem. It's no big problem.
Okay. Well, not when you're winning Fountain of Youth. Nothing's a problem.
No. The problem is,
sure. You don't. Well, yeah. You hope so.
Yeah.
You hope so. Well, Antonio, I'm thrilled to have you. I've mostly talked to your son over the years, but it's a pleasure to be able to have you live.
Anytime when you want.
Thank you so much. Continued success. This is an exciting horse.
Thank you. I hope my horse.
Upright. There you go.
Okay.
Antonio Sano, everybody. And Antonio is now, you're now on Twitter. How are you doing? You're doing a little tweeting, right?
Yes.
Sano Racing.
Sano Racing, yes.
All right. Follow Antonio and...
thank you, Robert.
Not at all. It's my pleasure, Antonio.
It's my pleasure to talk with you.
I'm so glad. I'm sorry about my description of where we were.
No,
it's okay.
It's perfect.
No training today, right?
No training. The first Monday, every month, the track
maintenance.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, well, it's good. That's okay.
So it's okay.
You just walk. Everybody gets walked.
All horses walk.
Okay. It's good for you know.
Work every day.
Exactly. You can. You maybe just you know. You get to relax. On the. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Antonio.
Thank you, my brother.
Be well. Antonio Sano and simplification for Tammy Bobo. This is a serious derby. You bet. Serious derby prospect for the Sano barn. I love it. You got it from now. Yeah, for phone call now. That's it. good. I'm glad he was able to connect. I was looking forward to that. All right. Richmond Leori is going to join us in a couple of minutes. But before that, here, I can that lets me get back to the Santa Anita recappings. Where did we leave off? San Felipe and the big cap, right? And how about... well, as time goes by, I mean, she also figured to be tough. I'll tell you, in that race, D'Amato's mare, Miss Bigley, kind of ran at her mid-stretch and looked for a couple of strides like Miss Bigley might shoulder her. The disappointment here was Envutanti, who just did not mount any kind of attack and trailed and just kind of went around, beaten 15, 16 lengths. But this, as time goes by, continues to be, solid. She had a bad portion of the year last year. She kind of tailed off and then seemed to be kind of coming back around after Breeders' Cup. She ran a nice race in the Bayacoa and then a terrific effort in the La Cañada, and then waited for this grade one opportunity last year when she tried this. McPeak got her with Swiss Skydiver, and she chased Swiss Skydiver home. But this is an American Pharoah, of course, out of the wonderful Take Charge Lady. And the Coolmore team on that front. What else? D'Amato, right? D'Amato, that Legs Galore pulled one of those gambits where she went, headlong on the backstretch, built up 10-length lead maybe. And, then you can see, shortening stride a little bit, and they were coming at her. And, in fact, she did not go favored. Going to Vegas, a dime below her on the marketplace, and she held on. They were, it was a diminishing half length, as they say, right? Calbred by Byron, and this 5-year-old mare for William Sims, homebred of his, out of an Indian Charlie mare, cashing tickets, going to Vegas. Closing remarks, third in here, and mucho unusual, a rare performance that left her out of the try. She doesn't miss the try. I don't know if she ever had missed a try, actually, before. Let me see that, actually. It's a good question. In a stake. She had... She had never missed a try at Santa Anita on the turf. And, 6-3-4 in 13 starts. She, I hadn't really thought about this until now. She's a horse that does not like to leave California. She is devastating at home. And she's a Calbred for George Krikorian. And, she went to Keeneland, tried the Jenny Wiley, which she was a big price there. But that didn't go well. And then in the Breeders' Cup, she went back to Keeneland. And, that is a sand-based course. It could be that that's just the footing, I know Andy would give me an argument, but trust me. Horses, what their feet hit on the ground. It's very much part of their, their physiology, the way they get over surfaces. They're not interchangeable. I tried to explain it. I'm going to stop doing that though, because Andy just he just scoffs. You know, there is a course racing today at Santa Anita. Don't forget. In fact, it's a fairly busy day of racing today. A surprisingly busy day, because you've got the Santa Anita reschedule. You've got a $300,000 stakes at Parks. And in fact, we're going to talk to Chris Griffin in about 45 minutes. We're going to talk to Mig now, and I'm going to reach out for Rich. And we'll start our conversation with him, and there's plenty to discuss, obviously, but Chris Griffin to follow, and we'll get some opinions from Chris, and we'll also get an update on what appears to be potentially a herpes outbreak. Parks horses having to stay at home for now. So we'll get that update from Chris, and we'll see what the latest is at Philadelphia. Rich Migliori getting ready to join us, and let's see. Let me reach for Rich right now. There you go. Richie, good morning.
Good morning. I'm sorry. I had my phone in my pocket. I was out in the barn. I guess the blacksmith's here again, and I didn't even see. I felt it vibrate just when I reached for it. The call left, so I apologize.
No, not at all. Not at all. And, of course, it's a little easier when Casey's calling, but until we can get back on that front, I'm doing the engineering work, at least on the phone call end. Richie, I hate that we have to start these conversations with jockey hijinks, but it's hard not to go directly to what happened in the Fountain of Youth with you, and you were very direct in your comments. Your view of it?
Yeah. I am 100% certain about what I saw. Very confident in my assessment of the whole situation. And, people, and one guy we saw Angel Cordero do that all the time. I defy you to show me film where Angel Cordero drops people. I mean, it's just absurd. There's a line between being aggressive, which I'm all for, and being reckless. And your very best riders skirt that line of aggression and recklessness without ever going over it. This is not even skirting or just, oh, oops, I went over the line. This is pulling through it like a bull in a china shop. I mean, that's not race riding. That's not good riding. That's not brave. That's not, I want my riders aggressive. That's ridiculous. It's beyond ridiculous. Not even border ridiculous. And watching it, when I see a horse go head over heels, and what if that horse hadn't been able to get up? What if that horse broke his neck? What if that horse broke his back? What if Junior Alvarado wasn't able to get up?
Yep.
And he was paralyzed or dead?
Yep.
Then all of this, oh, you're being hard on somebody, is going to sound awful hollow, isn't it? Well, guess what? Just like that line between recklessness and aggression can be very thin, out there, the line between life and death can be very thin, or life-altering situation can be very thin. So, if I'm impassioned, that's why I'm impassioned. Because I see a fall like that, and I guess, I have a little post-traumatic stress myself. That could be me in that spot. That could be me going head and over heels. I could have been Junior Alvarado. I could have been Joel Rosario. That could have been any one of the horses that I love. So, enough. It's just enough. It's ridiculous. The guy runs in a spot, realizes that the horse in front of him isn't going to carry him. Well, I got to make room. And I've said this to you on the show. I've said this to people when I talk about riding and racing. When I was out of horse and somebody took advantage of me is when I used to get my most upset, because I can't protect myself. I can't control the situation as much. Tyler Gaffione was out of horse. And now he's just a victim because he can't control the situation. Only one guy could do that, and that was the guy that decided to alter a path when there was no path to alter. I had somebody say, well, there were five horses going for the same spot. There were five horses with established position and one horse that went for a spot. So the absurdity and the hollow arguments I hear, this is why I get impassioned.
And you're 100% correct. And, you know, I asked Antonio Seno, who just now, who was very polite, frankly, but you could tell from his physical reaction. Yeah, I said, you know, how does that situation make you feel? I mean, his horse was out of danger. And as it happens, Jose Ortiz did, you know, after having to be bottled up for a while, he did everything right to get a terrific trip for simplification in the second half of the race. But everything else, I mean, your horse could just as easily be in that position. And, you know, then you've got a horse laying, you know, rolling around on the ground, a jockey rolling around on the ground. And, you know the horse is tripping over, it is an incredibly dangerous situation. And this guy, it'd be one thing. Do you remember the incident with Junior? I think it was at Aqueduct, and it was a horse of Jimmy's. It was a good horse of Jimmy's. May have been F&S.
When he dropped Rajiv.
Yes.
But yeah, it was a Jockey Club Gold Cup at Belmont.
Yeah, there you go.
And I was upset with Junior that day, just like I'm upset with Paco Lopez about this. And I, listen... I am who I am, and everybody and anybody's going to know where they stand with me. I had a conversation with Paco at Mama Jockeys and Jeans thing, trying to make him understand that you can modify and still be effective, that he's got a gift, horses run for him. We talked for a half an hour, and, you know, it obviously made zero impression. I explained to Junior how upset I was with him with Raj, and I was there in the hospital. This is the thing people don't understand. I'm the guy that goes there. And I'm the guy that was holding Roger's other hand when they were setting the arm that was fractured, okay? I'm the guy that sees it. I'm the guy that you know, has utmost respect for these guys. So when they don't respect their fellow riders, they don't respect the horses, they don't respect the game, I get mad. And I'm like a horse. I'm never going to hide my true character from you. I am who I am. So, you know, people, they want to intimate you have your own agenda. No, I don't. I love this game, and black eyes on the game, like the Fountain of Youth on Saturday, are too much. We're at a precipice with this industry. People have to understand that we can't continually have these scars. These scars are not going to go away. It's enough already. Everybody has to be held accountable. And how about this? Mr. Sano, tremendous horseman, got a legitimate three-year-old with a legitimate, you know, chance in the Florida Derby, legitimate chance going forward. His horse's performance gets lost in this.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what we're supposed to be doing is talking about the great performances, equine and human, the trainers getting these horses ready, developing a young horse, finding out how the horse, when he broke slow in his last start, took kick back, and like, maybe this is what's going to make him the best that horse can be. You know, there's all these little nuances and things that we should be talking about and the beauty of it. Instead, we're talking about an ugly incident that takes away, detracts from otherwise a great day of racing. My apologies to Mr. Sano that, you know what, his horse's performance should not be lost in that.
Well, when I mention, when I bring up the race at with Junior, I bring it up because Junior's not a guy that then subsequently, you know, kept up that activity and kept putting others in harm's way. It was an isolated incident. If this was an isolated incident, that'd be one thing. But it's not. It's constant.
No. Well, again, you know, listen, people are going to make mistakes. This is not a perfect world. You know, they're going to make mistakes in their personal lives. They're going to make mistakes in real life. They're going to make mistakes at their job. But learning from mistakes, you know, that was something Steve DeMauro instilled in me very early. It's okay to make a mistake. but understand what the mistake was and don't make the same mistake twice. This is habitual. And again, it's just indefensible. There's nothing to defend there. I don't even see how anybody can make an argument that it was otherwise. It's inconclusive. No, all you have to do is watch the angle of his horse's shoulder when he puts his shoulder into Tyler Gaffalione's horse and knocks him out a foot and a half. When we're talking inches, a foot and a half's a lot. To me, it's an absolute... I didn't see the race live. I went back and watched it, and then I watched it probably 200 times since. Indefensible. There's nothing to be said other than there should be, he has to be held accountable. But the accountability is a thing in this game that, I'm starting to question. I mean, it's just, let's just... kind of push things back and deflect and detract from what really we should be focusing on, and that's presenting the best product, the cleanest product, the most straightforward, fair product to the public. Because people, listen, I got my blacksmith out there. He said, hey, what happened in the first race yesterday? I read this thing online at Aqueduct. This is the first thing. Not what horses are we going to do? Oh, well, we're going to pull the snowshoes off of this horse. No, what happened at the first race at Aqueduct when Jose Lascano was at best overconfident? It looked like he had two armfuls of horse, and he's looking at the horses inside of him. I did talk to Trevor McCarthy at the race. He said he was hiding right behind him, like he was waiting until they slipped out, and then he came with a full head of steam. That ride can't go unquestioned. That there has to be a public inquiry about that. The stewards have to let the public know we asked them about this. We questioned what the heck was this. And then if there's a satisfactory answer, okay, then you don't suspend them, but you tell the public what the satisfactory answer was. If there's an unsatisfactory answer, you've got to be suspended for it. And the public has to know exactly what the whole deal was. I still don't know what it was. Someone said, well, you're a NYRA employee. I'm not a NYRA employee, by the way. I freelance for Fox. I'm not a NYRA employee.
I'm a racing
lover in a lifelong racetrack.
Well, I don't know what exactly... a NYRA employee is everybody supposed to have... I mean, I sent Jason Biades a text and asked him, what he thought and what, what I might suggest was going on. No answer. So let the stewards do that and find out. And it's crazy, and I feel badly for Jose to a degree on this, because here he was. Here he was on Saturday winning the Gotham. And that should be the focus, as opposed to, something that people want an answer for. And so it's just amazing how consistently, we're looking at things that, are important, but they take away from, the good performances and what should be the highlights.
Honestly, it frustrates me so badly. I was like, these are the things that roll around in my mind. I had a long drive home last night. It was a tough drive. There was an accident. It took me longer than normal. And, let's start a movement. TAR. Transparency, accountability, respect. Transparency so that the public knows exactly what the thought process is behind all these things. Accountability so when you do make a mistake, you own your mistake and don't make it again and learn from it. And respect the game, respect the horses, respect the people that are putting their hard-earned money on the table. When I was a kid growing up in Brooklyn going to the track with my father, I knew what it was. He'd go to the track with $24 he'd have budgeted to gamble with that day. We didn't have a lot of money. Go with the guys on the subway in my neighborhood. I was a young guy, but I loved racing, and if a jock didn't really finish on a horse, that mutt, look at that rat. The last thing I wanted to be was a rat. I might not have been the best rider. I rode through the wire, and I rode hard. And I understood how important it was to be third if I couldn't win or be second, because that was going to round out somebody's trifecta. I mean, it's not rocket science. And guess what? It's also not your right to do this. This is a privilege to do this.
Yeah. I want to go back to what went on aside from what Paco, you know, where Paco went and what transpired. The other topic out of this that needs examination and needs to be addressed is the overhead drone capability and the fact that in those spots, there's no head-on, there's no overhead, there's no way to understand exactly who went where, when, and how. And so, you know, the stewards have basically have got handcuffs on. I mean, they said it's in a spot where we can't see definitively. I mean, you can speculate, and certainly, you know, you and, you know, anybody that, you know, that knows how that is flowing on a turn. This is something that needs to be addressed, and it's been brought up for years that we don't have adequate coverage in those blind spots to give the stewards a chance to, you know, adjudicate properly and police it properly. And there's technology available now, the drones, that can alleviate this.
Well, in this day and age, with the technology available, it's unconscionable that it's not put to bed by now. You know, there was always a blind spot at the half-mile pole at Belmont that you knew you could take advantage of somebody. You knew where the camera seemed if you were doing your work. And guess what? You know, human nature, if you have an edge, you're going to take it. The fact that in this day and age, whether it's drones or being able to set cameras up at the proper angles that actually cover an entire race, it's absurd. Racing generates too much money. Too much money changes hands for it not to be policed in the most thorough, you know, way that it's possible. It's beyond me. I can't even begin to understand it. Now, you understand the position the steward's in. If they could know what I know, I know what I saw. But if they can't show it clearly to the public, how do they justify their decision? So they're in a terrible spot as well.
Yeah.
So I get so frustrated that I almost can't even articulate how I feel about this. I love this game. I love the racing. I love the horses. It's supposed to be the best it can be, and we're so far from that because of things like that and the fact that it can't even be policed properly. Come on. It's enough already.
Well, no one's going to argue that. No one's going to argue that, you know, we bring these things up. I bring it to you and Tony. And I would say, you know, at least once a month, minimum, we've got a topic like this, or in this case, two topics.
We think about this in this bigger context, what you get to do every day at the radio and how many relationships and people you've met and the adventures you have. Myself, the life that I've lived because of horses, because of racing, the places I've got to go, the people I've got to meet. Going to Saratoga every summer. All of those people that we gather up there, summer camp for adults in the foothills of the Adirondacks. All this ends without racing. I'm looking for a job doing something else. All I've ever done my whole life is work with horses, with the racetrack, in one form or another. We better start really taking serious the fact that there have been other industries, animal-related, animal-based injuries, industries that have gone by the wayside. And we better start taking it serious. I mean, I'm friends with guys, and when I see them mess up, I go to them, and I say it to them direct, because I love the game, and I respect the game too much, that, hey, don't hurt the game. You can't do this. Game's given me everything. Horses have given me everything. You got to take it serious. It's beyond time. It's like I'm blue in the face. It's enough. If it's a national commission, it's a national commission. But then have a national commissioner that's going to be a bad son of a gun. That, hey, this is what I expect, and there is no quarter. But that's what it's going to take to get people to say, whoa, wait a second. I got to really mind my P's and Q's and do this right.
Well, I don't want to pick on the same guys over and over again, but, we had this conversation about IRAD and his antics earlier, in the late fall, and he got, he got a serious benching, and yet, here he is within a shadow, within months of that, he's riding the way, the way he seems to like to. And
well, I had a long talk with IRAD, particularly after the incident with the apprentice at Aqueduct. And he knows, I didn't think the penalty was severe enough. All right, if you get a month, how about a month and a year's probation on top of it? You get taken down in that year, that something that you were responsible for, not the horse. There's got to be teeth. A month at the end of the year and you're worn out and you're tired from riding anyway. Listen, I've said it, and maybe it's going to come off hypocritical. I would want to get suspended the week before Christmas. You want a little downtime, but trainers get mad at you. So, all right, well, you got a month. Yeah, it's not ideal. A month's a pretty long suspension. What if that kid was out for 6 months?
Yeah. Well, again.
I don't know. I know the legalities of it. You can't do it. My thing was, if you drop a guy and that guy can't ride for 3 months, you can't ride till he rides. How about that? If he never rides again, you never ride again. And these are things that can happen. Guys go out there for the last time, not knowing it's the last time.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, you got me all worked up.
No, that was great. that was tremendous. Let's talk about the action, and what time were you on Saturday?
I was on for the through the Gotham, the Busher Gotham, all that.
Okay, all right.
Morello that horse makes me miss riding. I always miss it anyway. He really makes me miss riding. He looks like an absolute jockey's dream to ride. Move your hands, he goes forward. Take a little hold of him, he comes back to you. He's got multiple moves in him. He's fun to watch. And it's remarkable, and I would, tell people, go back and watch his three races in succession. Watch his first race, watch the Wingfield, watch the Gotham. From the first race to the second race, he matured so much mentally. To me, it was like, oh, that's my job. I got it now. I got it. Even though he won first time, I thought he was fairly green, a little bit raw. Really improved first to second start from that standpoint. Now, here's the interesting thing. Three-year-olds change a lot this period of time physically. As much improvement I saw from a mental standpoint, first start to second start, is the improvement I saw from a physical standpoint, the second start to the third start.
Hmm.
I think, listen, he's really coming together at the right time, and he's a horse that is going to overachieve because he is so tractable, he's so smart, and he's so handy. Again, he looks like a jockey's dream to ride to me.
The progression that you're referring to too, Steve Asmussen cited as well, and I mean, he really likes the way this is, this is unfolding. A November debut, going three quarters, wins by four, comes back in the Wingfield to go seven in a three-year-old debut, nice spacing, and wins that by five. It feels like when you look at those charts that they were against some some quality animals too, and now comes forward and wins at a mile, and now we'll look to the wood, and the wood is shaping up really interesting, Meg, and given that it's had terrible luck over the last 10-12 years or so, with wood winners that then have missed the Derby for one reason or another. I mean, there's a parade of them. But this is a nice, you know, when you talk about Morello, and then you had that Golden Code who finished third. Mo Donegal shifted here. High Oak is now going to come here after the spill. Early voting is, you know, treading the Aqua Spa to get ready for this. Barese I almost called him Moshe Safdi. That was unbelievable. Safi Joe, I don't know, because I've only got Safi written down instead of, I had friends from Montreal we had dinner with last night, actually. And so Montreal and Moshe Safdi's on my mind. Safi Joseph has got two that he's got a pair that he's thinking about for and that's just right now. I mean, by the time we get closer, I think we're going to end up having a really good wood.
Yeah, I mean, you hope it all stays together and shapes up that well. And that's always just a great day of racing anyway. You have the stakes action all that day. Again, you know, Morello, it's kind of interesting, too. You think about Morello, Classic Empire. He wasn't straightforward. He was tricky. You know, he'd do some goofy stuff. And you'd have to say his best offspring to date is Morello. And he's the complete opposite. He's like straightforward, no tricks to him. Like, just, you know, he looks like a horse. It's like basically looking back to ride. Okay, what do you want me to do? I'll do it. You know. I think it's very exciting. It's really cool. Who else? What about a Mandela's horse out on the West Coast?
Well, sure. There's a horse that unless Richard was cold watering everybody about the ability to, to make the two turns, that's a horse that now, I think people are going to have to take very seriously, and didn't look like he's going to have any issue, getting that extra half furlong and beyond. And, of course, the horse here, the Simplification, he finished. I just had this conversation with Sano, and there's, we're getting there. We're getting there slowly. Epicenter.
Well,
it's
funny. Because Richard and I communicated after he won the San Vicente. And he's just a guy that I really like. Like, he's, when he wins, I'm happy because he's the horseman's horseman. There was a day when I was out there riding, and he wasn't getting on horses anymore or anything, and that horse was giving the exercise rider a hard time. And, Richard was trying to explain to the guy what he needed him to do, and the guy just couldn't get it. And at the quarter pole gap at Santa Anita, he had the guy get down, and he got on the horse, and they rode off into the barn area. And he came back a half hour later. The horse was loose rein, head down, getting walking calm. Everything was fine. That's a horseman. That's a guy that not getting on horses anymore and says, no, I need to do this. And got the horse to relax and settle, and like, I was in awe that day, but in awe of so many things. I was, I always felt blessed. I got to win a grade one for him out there and, ride for him and get to know him a little bit. But when we communicated after the San Vicente, he kind of expressed that to me that, I just don't, he's fast. I just don't know how far he's going to go. But then we talked Sunday morning after the San Felipe, and the thing that struck me, he's going fast, but Tony Black's contribution, not how fast you're going, it's how you're going fast. He's got an incredibly efficient stride, very reminiscent of his sire, American Pharoah. And going to the half-mile pole, as fast a fraction as he's setting, his ears are flicking back and forth. So he's not running with his ears back through the bridle as fast as he can, as far as he can. He's going fast, but he's also conserving something. And then the last 16th of a mile, when the rider kind of, I wouldn't say he wrapped up, but he just kind of put his hands down, his ears came back up again, and something was, well, he was tiring and his stride was deteriorating. I didn't see it that way. I thought he was, oh, my job's over. The rider kind of gave him the cue. He didn't have anybody around him, and he relaxed again. So the fact that if he can bounce off and open up two or three and throw those ears up and go, a half and 46 in chains, that's rating for a horse that's that naturally fast. And the way the Derby's been run recently with the point system, mile and a quarter might be stretching it, but, a horse with speed is always dangerous, especially if he gets loose by himself. And I don't see, unless somebody went on a mission, how he doesn't get loose, because he's just naturally that quick and he has the right guy conditioning him, that he's not going to run him there unless he believes he can do it. And he'll have as much foundation in them as humanly possible.
Now, the three winners, all three, Morello and Forbidden Kingdom and Simplification. This was a good roundup. And let's talk about the Phillies for a second, Rich. And I got to reach back for Shug too about Kathleen O. A disappointment for Shug, of course, back in New York with Radio Days. But Venti Valentine, the New York bred, and Classy Edition, the New York bred that chased Kathleen O home. Good weekend for them, but it, you know, I think we all kind of last week at Oaklawn, we were so impressed with Secret Oath. You do have to give the others a chance, you know, to mature on the same wavelength and the same timing. And here's two very nice Philly performances on Saturday in Florida and New York.
The New York Oaks is going to be loaded this year. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, Venti Valentine, I got to tell you, she came to the paddock, and I was in the paddock when Demoiselle Day, I saw her, and I said, wow, this filly matured. Like, you know, when we look at horses and we always talk about making that step from two to three, that was like such an example of it. She still had like a little bit of a baby look to her. All the puzzle pieces hadn't come together. As a two-year-old, she still ran that well. And I went to Jorge Abreu, I said, man, you know, I haven't seen her in a while, but have you seen the maturation? Like, she looks like a different filly to me. She really matured. He goes, she really has. He goes, the way she's come together, she's been phenomenal. And then he said, you know, all trainers, horse come away. I said, I wish I had one more work. So in my paddock prattle, I said that, you know, I thought she had matured a great deal and that I thought she was going to take a big step forward. I also reiterated what he said. I ultimately picked her because I was so taken with how much she had come together and matured from two to three, and that was impressive. Shug's filly in Florida was impressive. I liked the way she was in the kickback, and when Javier sifted her out to the clear, she really, you could see physically, visually, she lowered herself and really, you know, finished the deal. I like that. And the filly that was second to her was good. So, you know, horses change. They change a lot. They evolve a lot, particularly through this period of time. You know, we're always, I think, a little bit more conscious of the colts doing it, but I'm seeing it with the colts and the fillies this year, just horses changing and developing through this period of time. And you go back to Charismatic with Wayne. You know, he really kind of matured towards the end of March into April, and that's when he blossomed. He was just a horse before that. And, you know, physically, mentally, figure the game out. So who you like at the moment, like I guess what I'm saying is don't get too hung up on any one horse at this moment. You know, like them, be a fan, have them in your notes.
Sure.
But things change. Things change a lot through this period of time in a young horse's life.
No, no doubt. They move forward and they change. And then, of course, you know, it doesn't hurt for those that, you know, all the pieces of information that are available to you. Don't forget to look on the, you know, on the top line on the PPs in the horse description, where it says, you know, bay colt, etc. Well, then there's in a parenthesis, there's when they were born. And, you know, this time of year, let's say, you know, now obviously it's March, but beginning of the year, you might look at PPs and, you know, there's a bunch of horses born in January, February, March. And then all of a sudden you see one that was born in April or May, and it doesn't seem like a lot. And it won't look like anything, you know, next year or when they're five. But it means something right now. I mean, if there's 90 days on a three-year-old, it is significant. And so, you know, they're maturing at different rates. And then, of course,
yeah, one is actually, you know, a three-year-old, 36 months old, and that one's 32 months old. You know, I mean, think about it, like if you know, people out there that are parents, you know, your kid is just on that cusp of he'll be the youngest in his class or the oldest in his class, right?
Right.
But yeah, so you have the opportunity to say, well, I'll hold him up a year and let him be in first grade next year or whatever, you know. But horses don't have that luxury. January 1st, they're a year older. You know, officially, not completely in reality. You know, I think Mucho Macho Man was, he was a Jew fall, wasn't he?
He was a crazy, and of course there was the famous 2nd of June, another one, you know.
Right.
So
yep.
Yeah, it matters.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point you bring up. You know, and
bring
it's
up a great point.
some people then say, well, so then it's better if they were born in January. I'm not of that school.
Not necessarily. Yep. Yep. I mean, it depends. Also, again, it depends on pedigree and precociousness, and you know the kind of maturation curve that the pedigree offers.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's these nuances, and these are the things that I want to talk about. These are the things that we all should talk about, and those should be more of a celebration. We've got to do better as a whole. We've just all got to do better and go forward with the understanding that, again, we're so privileged and we're blessed to do this, and it's our responsibility to represent the game in a way that it deserves to be represented.
You know, I want to slip something in here before we touch on a couple other races. The mentioning of 2nd of June, this is one of those train of thought moments. That reminds me, of course, of Billy Caesar. And Billy had a unfortunate incident at his farm where he had a barn fire and a house fire that from a storm, electrical storm, hit at the barn, went along a wire and exploded at the house and burned the house down. And my free association here moves to the fire overnight as well that affected Wesley Ward's barn. Again, the same thing, electrical storm, and lost three horses, including the veteran gelding that ponies with the horses that Wesley takes to Royal Ascot.
Yeah.
Very sad. And Strike the Tiger, who was the first winner at Ascot for Wesley. So hearts go out. There was also a 5-year-old named Modesto and an unraced 2-year-old Hootenanny gelding. Nothing worse than this.
Yeah, it's terrible. And you know, it's funny. I had reached out to Wesley, I guess a month ago or so, when you know the thing about his Royal Ascot trophies being stolen. And you know, just listen. I know it's past, but you know, these things are important to you. And you know, like I remember. Had a cleaning lady, she had knocked my Eclipse Ward over and it broke, and you know, just like on you know, and it wasn't gone, you can get it fixed, right? You know, so I had reached out to him, and I had a mental note to reach out to him today to, you know, just see how he was doing. And it's terrible. It's just really, really tough stuff.
A couple of other performances, and there was another, looks like another nice sprint player. This one from Safi Joseph and the Tom Fool winner. That was impressive officiating, and part of Manny Franco's nice day and nice weekend. Ran right by Chateau. I mean, like he was tied to a post.
Yeah, Chateau got the trip he wants. I mean, he got to control everything, and no, that was a very good performance. And you got to think you'd see him back in the Carter. No, I mean that would have to be the next step, the way he ran on Saturday.
You know, I've got a couple others, but I do want to include, we ran in the opener, Rich, and ran into a jaw-dropping effort from that Ray Handel American Pharoah gelding. What did you make of that? That Disco Pharoah beat us by 20. I thought Scherzando ran all right, and that Disco Pharoah was just widening with every jump.
Yeah, it's funny. I looked at that race and thought it was pretty competitive, and he just took it to a whole different level. He was coming off the synthetic at Turfway, and you know, you could see early on, as comfortable as he got stalking the leader, Sinful Dancer, that I mean, he was going to win, but the fact that he just kept widening. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you there. There's your early line favorite for the, well, what was it, that Blue Lion Thoroughbreds too? Yeah, the Morello people.
Yeah, they had a big day. They had a very big day. Dylan Davis aboard, and I guess that explains why Dylan Dylan thought to ride there, and we were not unhappy. In fact, got our first chance to see Gomez in our jacket, and he was good. The 7 pounds, a benefit obviously, and. I think you know, we had to face open company because it didn't look like the state bred race was going to materialize, and I think, in fact, Gary's on vacation this week, but he talked to me from this morning from the airport, and he and Joe.
Oh yeah, he told me he was going on vacation.
Yeah,
that's good.
He's going away for a week.
Josephine, so, yeah.
Well, Josephine, you know, Josephine can use a vacation. Every minute away from Gary is a vacation.
I was going to say, can he stay home?
I think we're going to wait for not wait, but we're looking forward to putting him back on grass. I mean, not that he's, you know, he's run fine. He's just gotten, you know, he's had.
He picked up another check.
Yeah, another nice check.
You know, pays the bills and
yep.
You get back with New York Breds, obviously going to make it a little bit easier for him. And but he does have some turf pedigree. It's funny. I was looking through it.
The dam.
He does. Yeah.
Yeah. The dam was on her way to being a. You know, a nice turf stakes mare, and more than ready. And so we've had a decent winner. Can't complain. A bunch of thirds and second and fourth, and he's fun every time
paying
you lead him over.
He's paying his way.
Yeah, I mean he's basically actually with that check. And this, of course, you know, there was an extra what? There's an extra $10,000 in that purse for open company. He basically. Has earned what we paid for him, 50, whatever it was, 52.5. And so I'm not unhappy, but I'd like, he's going to win. He's we got to get him to, I don't know where we go after, you know, after he graduates, but.
All right, this is what I want you to do.
Yeah.
And I want you to bring Tony Black up to ride him, break his maiden with Tony Black.
Well, Tony, you know, we're going to talk to Chris Griffin here momentarily, but with the situation, we'll get an update in Philly. I don't know if Tony's allowed to leave Philly Park either.
Until he's quarantined.
Is he quarantined?
I don't know.
Richie, I appreciate the very frank and heartfelt reflection on what transpired on Saturday down here, and. We'll convene next week.
Look forward to it, Steve. Have a great day.
Rich Migliori, everybody. And, well, you got a very honest response. And, I know there's some people that are trying to find ways to absolve Paco. And, the five. Oh, the five was driven. No. Come on. This. And again, I do have to say that there's no excuse at this point to not make the technical investment, the infrastructure investment, however you want to describe it. In overhead, in drones, whatever it is, whatever the technology is that we're going to, you know, we need. And in fact, you know, we're going to talk to Chris Griffin, and he's joining us now. And actually, Chris, given... there we go.
Hello?
There he is, Chris Griffin.